shortly. For those on our members list, I circulated a notice of the meeting and it had the agenda. So I have not received, or rather the secretariat has not received any additional items to be put up on the agenda. So we will proceed with the agenda as it is on the notice that was circulated on the mailing list. So I'll be putting it up in a moment. Please register. Any binding decisions can only be made by full members, and I request that as we take round the form, or rather as we take around the registration form, make sure you register so that we can be able to move as per our constitution. I don't know where it is. Oh, I think it's somewhere there. Okay. Has everyone signed up the registration form? I'm putting up the agenda. So far I have not received any apologies, unless any of the members has received an apology on behalf of our members, of our
okay, I think we have quorum. The constitution requires at least 7 members to be present for quorum. So with the sheet circulating, we do have quorum. And we can call the annual general meeting to order. Who has the sheet for signing? Okay. All right, so I would like to call the meeting to order. We have an agenda. We did not receive any apologies. we will proceed. We'll look at the minutes of the previous meeting. Barak, if you can put them up. I have the hard copy for the agenda. The last meeting that we had was in Livingstone in Zambia in July last year. And these meetings, these minutes have been circulated. So I'm just putting up them up for record purposes. We're not going to go through reading them since they were circulated, but I would like to call for adoption of the minutes or corrections, if there are any. Move. Someone move for adoption. You want to move for adoption? Adoption of minutes? Okay, Mary has moved. Any seconder for the adoption of the minutes? Habib seconds. Okay, so we have adopted the minutes. Let's move to the second item on the agenda, matters arising from the minutes. No, not reading. Yeah. Unless you have, we have matters arising. Barak, can you take us through?
Okay, thank you, Chair. So, there are no matters arising really, but there are areas just to report on regarding the meeting that we had. There are a number of issues that we committed that we would do, some that we've started on, some that we haven't really done, which will be contained in the update that I will provide later on. I'll give a secretariat update. A lot of the discussion was centered around operational issues, so I'm going to cover them when giving the update.
Okay. Thank you very much, Barak. I don't know from members if there's any issue on the minutes. Otherwise, we move to agenda item number 3, which is the chairman's report. Okay, so I'll give the chairman's report. Let me recognize the directors available here today. The manager, Barak. I think that we have our host representatives in the audience. Our host is Zedna, the South Africa Domain Name Authority. We had several people attending our forum, and I would like to recognize all members present here, both full members as well as associate members. Everyone else has observed in normal protocol. So let me welcome you to the annual general meeting and my presentation of this chairman's report. It's a great pleasure for us to be here in South Africa, first for the DNS forum, which we have just gone through, in partnership with ICANN and ISOC. I think it's been one of our really great events that we have assisted to organize and execute. Maybe just a brief background of our organization. AFGLD, under the current framework, held its first AGM in Marrakesh in June in 2006. At that time, an interim executive committee was elected. And we are calling our executive committee EXCOM. So if I refer to EXCOM, it is the executive committee, and it functions as the board of directors for AFGLD. That committee was chaired by, we elected Mr. Michuki Mwangi as our chairman, and Michuki has helped us a lot over the years to build the organization, and he left the office in 2009 at the AGM in Arusha, Tanzania. And after that, we elected Vikam Pisani, from Zedna, to take over the chairmanship. Since then, we have had a number of AGMs. In 2007, we were in Cairo. In 2008, we were in Johannesburg. In 2009, we were in Arusha. Then in 2010, we were in Nairobi. 2011, we were in Accra. And last year, in 2012, we were in Livingstone, Zambia. It was in Zambia where I was elected as chairman after Vika retired. So AFGLD as an organization, we are guided by a constitution, and that constitution was debated by this house, and it was approved in Arusha, Tanzania at our AGM at that time. And AFGLD also as an organization is recognized by ICANN as the regional organization representing the Africa region. So this is the second AGM that we are holding in South Africa after the 2008 one. And we would like to thank our hosts, Zedna, for hosting us again this time in Durban. The current executive committee is seated in front of you, and let me just recognize each one of them. Mr. Suleiman Umtanaga is our vice chairperson. Maybe you can just raise your hand so that everyone is sure who is who. And Mr. Abib Antakie from .tz is our treasurer. Mr. Eric Akumia is our director responsible for partnerships. Mrs. Mary Uduma from Nigeria is our director responsible for communications. Dr. Alun Traore is our director responsible for research. And our administrative manager is Mr. Barak Otieno from Kenya. Thank you. So I would like to mention that Barak became manager after Eric. Eric was our previous manager. And when he retired, we engaged Barak to take over. So over the past year, if I can just give a report, we have had a very productive year, and it's my pleasure to give some highlights of the things that we have been doing. Of course, I've already mentioned that we had our AGM in 2012 in July in Livingstone, Zambia. In August, we participated in the ICANN Africa Strategy. I think that has been mentioned before. It's a major issue for ICANN in Africa. And Africa is the first region to have a strategy of this kind. But now there are strategies of this kind in Latin America and some being developed for Asia and other regions. In October, we were in Toronto at ICANN 44. In November, we were in Khartoum, where we ran the Registrar Operators course, the Advanced Registrar Operators course, AROC. In March this year, we participated in the ICANN multi-stakeholder meeting, internet governance meeting in Addis Ababa, which formed the basis for the DNS forum that we've been holding this week. In April, we participated in ICANN 46 in Beijing, China, and it was in Beijing that we signed an MOU with ZACR for running the Dot Africa project. In May, we ran the Registrar Operators course in Nigeria. In June, we were at the Africa Internet Summit in Lusaka. And it is in Lusaka that our participation for the first time rose the idea of including domain names in the workshops that are held together with AFNOG, AFRINIC, AFREN, and the various AFSTAR organizations. AFRISET, apologies if I have not mentioned all of them. So the AIS, the Africa Internet Summit, now has a steering committee, and the AFTLD has been invited to join the steering committee in a bid to include all the stakeholders in planning the next Africa Internet Summit, which will be in Djibouti in 2014. So in July, this is the month of July, we are here at the DNS Forum in South Africa, and we will attend the ICANN meeting that takes place next week, ICANN 47. During this ICANN meeting, we have a regional top-level domains organization roundtable meeting with the CEO of ICANN, and it will take place on the 17th. So the agenda is still open. If you want to send me items to discuss with this, they have asked us to include the chairman and three other directors from AFTLD. So we'll be meeting the CEO together with Center for Europe, together with LACTLD from Latin America, and EPTLD from the Asia-Pacific region. We will be running the Registry Operators course in Antananarivo, Madagascar in October. The registration for this will open shortly. In addition to these, we are setting up a secretariat in Nairobi, and this is now at an advanced stage. And we have a project with ISOC, as you must have heard over the last 2 days, to study and support CCTLDs in Africa, including DNSSEC, registrars, registry automation, and what are they calling it? Something to watch over the CCTLDs as they develop. So, membership. I put up the membership chart a short while ago. We have now crossed over the halfway mark for members from the Africa region. I think Barack will put it up. These are our members. Recently, we've been joined by .td, .km, .so, Somalia, and .cg. We have received some documentation from .gm, Gambia, and .bw, Botswana. These have not been finalized for membership yet. we have some things to verify. We have seven associate members, and we have some pending applications for associate members from AFNIC that has not been finalized yet. So we do have a growing membership base, as our aim is, of course, to have every African CCTLD as a member. But we do have a formal process which we try to verify when we receive membership applications. We're very grateful to our members. They have shown quite a bit of interest in our activities, as has been demonstrated this week. Our finances are in the positive region. There will be a presentation on the finances, as is listed on the agenda, and the statement on finances will be made by our treasurer, Abib, and it will be presented to you shortly. What I can note is that we still don't have regular membership payments flowing in, so we are still a little bit dependent on partners, on the money that we raise from conducting our activities. And it is nearly time that we need to have a steady income for supporting the activities of the organization from membership fees. So in that sense, I would like to thank our partners and our sponsors, those that sponsored our various activities during the year, that the activities that I've already mentioned, and of course for this meeting. We have our sponsors well listed behind me. I don't have to name all of them. They contributed quite a lot to our successful meeting this week. And they have made our past 2 days the success that it has been until today. Thank you. This is my report. I'll be happy to get a comment, a contribution, before we move to the next agenda item. All right, if not, then we can move on to the next agenda item, number 4, which is one of the things that we are doing with our partner, ISOC. It's the ISOC Africa CCTLD and DNSSEC program. And I'll give the microphone over to Barak to say a few words.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be very brief. We have started a program with ISOC. This year we are focusing largely on partnerships. So we are working on a CCTLD observatory to collect data on what's happening in the CCTLDs across the continent. I think you all saw the presentation that was done by Center and LAC TLD. It's a joint approach among all the regional top-level domain organizations. So we are trying to develop an observatory to enable us to have more focused interventions. And we've not started the project. We are still working on some logistical aspects, but it should start anytime soon after this forum. We are going to actualize that. The same includes the DNS program. So after this meeting, you're going to receive communication from the secretariat. We're going to be working jointly with ISOC on the CCTLD and DNSSEC program. And with that, I wish to make an appeal to all of us to respond. Whenever the communication comes and the questionnaires come, I think you've been receiving questionnaires from the Secretariat lately. The whole idea is to be able to collect data that will facilitate this program. So we will require a lot of support from the membership and from all the CCTLDs to make this study a success, because any other program after this will be based on the statistics that we'll be able to collect. We don't want to do generic training or general events. We want a more focused approach to solving the challenges that we have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Barak. I think that the issues around this program were mentioned this week. So I would like to open the floor. If we have any comments on this, I would like to welcome them now. And of course, as I've already mentioned, our director responsible for capacity building is the vice chairperson. Suleiman, do you want to make a comment or?
About the capacity building?
Yeah, no, about the ISOC Africa CCTLD program. Oh, do you want to make a comment? Okay, thank you. Yes, please, go ahead. Habib.
Okay, my comment is that recently there was a questionnaire which was circulated to members, and the response was quite poor. Probably it could be because of the format of the questionnaire itself, so we should take some considerations that the questionnaire has to be brief to the point, not about 10 pages or 20 pages, because that could be the reason that most of the members did not respond. You can have a number of questionnaires, but which are brief, which someone can spend 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Abib. I'm sure those organizing it will attend to that. Yeah, thank you. Okay, there are no other comments. Then I would like to move to agenda item number 5, which is the ICANN regional TOD organizers, TOD organizations roundtable. This roundtable was initiated by comments from regional organizations in Beijing. What was observed was that the ICANN establishment was meeting with stakeholders, regional internet registrars, RIRs. They met with the GTLDs, but they didn't meet with the regional TOD organizations. As I mentioned, this is AFTOD, LAC-TOD, APTOD, and CENTER. So following that, the regional organizations did some consultations on the mailing list, and observed that there was need for the ICANN establishment to meet with the regional organizations as a significant stakeholder group. Following that, communication was sent to the ICANN CEO, and the ICANN CEO responded positively. That they would be willing to meet with the regional TOD organizations. So this meeting has been set up on the 17th of July in the evening from 1900 hours. And they have invited from each TLD organization the chairperson, and they wanted only two additional people, but there was a request to include at least four people. So from AFTLD, I'll be going to that meeting together with the vice chairperson, Mr. Suleiman Mtunaga, and the treasurer, Abib, and I'll also be taking the manager, Barak. The agenda is very short. There will be, maybe before I go to that, ICANN has also invited the CCNSO, and I can see Leslie is in the at the back, so Leslie will be leading the CCNSO team. The agenda is very short. The organizations will be presenting their view, and then there is a presentation on ICANN regional strategies. As I already mentioned, Africa has a strategy in place, and that has been implemented, and we have a vice president, Mr. Pierre Dangino. In Latin America, the strategy has been put in place. Its implementation has started, and they also have a vice president, a regional vice president. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, a regional vice president was put in place in Asia, starting work on 1 July. So the last region to be considered is Europe. It's very awkward for us to think of Europe as being last, but this is what is happening. And as far as I know, they don't have a vice president yet, unless there is one in place. I don't know if you can correct me. No, okay. So indeed, Europe is the last to be attended to in this case. But you're welcome to make us a suggestion on what we should bring to this round table. If you have a burning topic, this is the time. I'm opening the floor for you to indicate. No? Okay. Yes.
Mention some details that will be discussed there so that if there are some things.
Yes, that's what I just did.
Do you want me to repeat them?
Maybe. Just like I didn't get it.
Okay. Let me just read directly from the agenda. So agenda item number 1, regional TLD organization leader explaining their roles in the respective regions and area of collaboration with ICANN community in the different regions. Mm-hmm. Agenda item number 2, overview of ICANN's regional strategies and engagement with other regional organizations. So for now, these are the two agenda items, yes. So I open the floor if you want us to include an item that we can raise. This is your time to do so. Okay, from the ICANN side, they are expecting Fadi, the CEO, Tarek, the Now I'm hesitating because the chairman of ICANN said maybe he's not from Africa, which I found strange. There will be Bart. He's an ICANN staff member. There will be David Olive, responsible for policy, and the vice presidents in the regions which I mentioned. Oh, by the way, this email does mention Niger as a vice president. Rodrigo from Quake, from Rodrigo from Latin America, Quake from Asia, and Pierre from Africa. And of course, yeah, CCNSO, represented by Leslie, Byron, and Keith. Okay, if there are no comments, I can close this agenda item number 5. Yes, ma'am.
I know that some of them participated in our program here. Probably you may want to raise some of the high points of issues that we raised during this forum. Well, if it is not important. I know other regions, I don't know whether all the regions attended, maybe in doing your briefing. I know whether there are some that you may want to raise with ICANN. Since the president was not around, we thought he would be there, but he didn't come.
So you want the other regions to speak?
No, I mean what transpired here, probably there could be one or two of the issues or conclusions we reached that you may, as part of AOB, just brief the meeting so that other regions might also take you on what we have done in our own region.
Okay, thank you. Definitely during the briefing on our roles of FTLD, I will mention what we have done today and this week and include it in our briefing for the meeting. Going on the agenda, we are now on agenda number 6, which is the financial report for the year ended 31st December 2012. Abib, please.
Okay, thanks, Chair. The manager has a copy of the slides, because people will be able to understand the figures if they are displayed. Okay, this is, I'm presenting the FTLD accounts for the financial year 2012, which means it's for the period starting from January to December 2012. The report has 4 parts: acknowledgements, accounts report, just a summary of it, way forward, on the conclusion. Now, the acknowledgements are to sponsors and some of the members for their contributions during the financial year 2012 and also material support. Now, during the financial year 2012, we had the following sponsors: OIF, we had Uniforum or ZACR, we had AFNIC, ISOC, and AAU. Those are the sponsors who supported us financially during the year 2012. Now, in terms of figures, I should clarify that these figures are exclusive of the bank charges or transaction charges. Uniforum supported us US dollar 5,000, but less transaction or bank charges, we received 4,991. AFNIC, they supported us in terms of euros, but we converted, it was converted into dollars. It was a total of 57,149.21. OIF supported us $10,682.96. ISOC supported us, exclusive of bank charges, $9,978. And we received the USD 7,992 from AAU. The further acknowledgements go to ZICTA, who were the local host for the 2012 annual general meeting. ASEP, they were the local host for the training in Iguaga. And SEIS, were the local host for the training in Sudan. And also, Center did support the FTLD admin manager's visit to Center, and we do acknowledge their support as well. As for the accounts, our bank account is still under AFRINIC. We acknowledge them also for their extended support. But the plan is to move it to Kenya once the registration of FTLD in Kenya is finalized. And this accounts report has been derived from the AFRINIC transaction summary sent it to us, and also the invoices which we sent for whatever payment. Now, for the case of members' contribution, is still poor, as the chairman mentioned, because what we did during the year, we sent out 23 invoices to all members, but out of that, we received contributions from 5 members.
Barak is having a challenge with technology. Maybe you have it on your machine. Maybe we can project it from there. We wanted to bring this up on the screen. We have a bit of a challenge putting the figures on the screen. Just bear with us for a few minutes. Thank you for the patience. We have the file at last on the screen. So over to you, Abibekin.
So I will go a bit fast.
Sure.
I explained the first slide that the report covers January to December 2012. The report covers January to December 2012, that is financial year 2012. Where is it? This one? This is it. Okay, next page. Where is the next page? Slide, yeah.
Okay, let's try.
That way? Yeah. Okay, the report, I said, has four sections: acknowledgments, account report, in a summary form, way forward and the conclusion. And acknowledgments are to the sponsors and the members for the financial and material support during the year. And the sponsors I mentioned, OIF, Unifora, OZACR, AFNIC, ISOC, and AAU. And in terms of figures, what they sponsored us during the year, Unifora, OZACR is $4,991, AFNIC supported us with $57,149.21, OIF supported us with $10,682.96, ISOC $9,978, AAU $7,992. In terms of admin issues, or when we had training sessions or AGM, we acknowledge the support from ZICTA, who were the local host for the 2012 AGM. ASEP, who were the local host for the training in Ouagadougou. SIS, who were the local host for the training in Sudan. But also, CENTA supported us for the admin manager's visit to CENTA. Further acknowledgement for the accounts report is to AFRINIC, because our account is still under AFRINIC. And we hope that it will be moved to Kenya once the registration of FTLD in Kenya is finalized. As for the report, it has been derived from the AFRINIC transactions and the invoices raised during the year. And as the chairman said in his report, the members' contribution is still poor. Out of 23 invoices raised to members, only 5 members paid. For income, we had a balance which we carried forward from 2011 of 38,317, and the grants plus refunds, because we had some expenditure which resulted into refunds, was 90, $96,470.99. And from members' contributions, we had 1,500, which is really disappointing. And basically, we received the support from Dotizi. I try myself to be in the leading in this area. .ng, .sd, and we also received the support from our associate member, Lexi Synergy. And also, .ke decided to fund the registration process in Kenya. So in total, we had an income of $136,287.99. This includes the balance we had from 2011. As for expenditure, we had an expenditure of $11,013.99 for admin issues, and for the AGM and the trainings reported, we spent $76,687. So the total is $87,799, and the balance we carried forward to this financial year was $48,587 with 0 cents. So for the way forward, we are saying all members should contribute at least the minimum amount we agreed in Zambia, that is at least $200, which I think is very minimum, and every member should pay at least to cover the administration costs. And for the non-member, I encourage them to join so that they can be fully associated with the FTLD operations and benefits as well. Finally, Siabonga.
Thank you, Abib. So this is our brief financial report. I should mention that what Abib mentioned, that our finances are managed under AFRINIC. So these are not audited reports. We get audited together with the AFRINIC finances. This is one of the major issues that we are really that is really pushing us to open our own secretariat in Kenya. And it is our hope that when we open the secretariat, then we can run a full-fledged financial system and hopefully get properly audited reports. So I would like to open the floor. If you have any comments on this, you are most welcome to make your interventions now. Madagascar. If you speak in slow
enough. I speak
enough,
in French.
Okay.
Because I make effort to see his son in English, so okay. I speak
okay.
in French.
Sure.
Bon, je voudrais juste réagir sur la cotisation qui était dit comme quoi qu'il y avait 5 pays qui ont payé par rapport à 23. Je crois savoir jusqu'à présent que le point G a été toujours payant sur le FI, l'annuel FI. Par rapport à Livingston, l'année dernière, je ne vois pas que ça n'a pas figuré. Là, c'est un point.
D'accord.
Et le second point, on a adopté depuis tout ce temps comme quoi qu'il y avait un minimum, minimalement annuel pour le paiement. C'était, je crois, $300 ou quelque chose comme ça. Je voudrais agir dans le sens que, comme quoi, que pour toute association, il faut reconnaître que l'argent est vital. L'argent, on en a besoin. Donc, pour que les pays puissent y contribuer, pourquoi est-ce qu'on ne supprime pas le minimum, puisque, comme ça, je crois que ça va faciliter la contribution de tout un chacun. Puisqu'on a imposé le 300, donc personne ne veut réagir. Donc, je pense que si on... C'était l'adoption qui était prévue depuis, je ne sais pas combien, 2 années ou 3 années. Donc, je dis, si, je propose donc qu'on supprime le minimum et qu'il y a une contribution, même symbolique, au moins on voit que le pays participe. Voilà.
OK. I'll ask Suleiman to translate.
Yes.
.mg said there are two points. The first point is in the list presented by Abibu, you don't see .mg in the list. And he said that .mg paid equitation every year.
That's
right. Yes, okay. So he would like .mg to be in the list. The second point is the participation of the members, okay? He realized that the participation is not enough to allow FTLD to work really. So what he suggests is not to fix a minimal participation, but to make it open. If a CTLD wants to give more than what we are fixing, he can do it. Okay? This is a suggestion he has done.
Okay. Abib, you can respond to it. Mm-hmm. Let me start with the simplest one, the second. The $200 we said is minimum, but you can pay more than that. That's what we said. Okay? Yeah, because there are some members who paid $500. And for the case of the report, Barack has reminded me that Madagascar paid direct during the AGM, and this report was derived based on what was the transaction through Afrinic account. So we'll make correction of that. But again, what we are trying to do, we are having some problems in terms of the reports we received from Afrinic, because sometimes they don't give full details of who paid. We had even the issue of AAU. In the transaction, it was reported AAS, and we were asking ourselves who AAS are. Okay, so such confusions will be avoided once we have our own account of which we maintain. Yeah, thank you, and sorry for that. Thank you, Abib. There will be a correction to reflect Madagascar. Is that okay with Madagascar? Yeah, thank you. Any other interventions on this? So just to echo the report, 200 is minimum, but members can pay more, and other members are paying more. Yes, Comoros.
Okay, Ali Haji du Point KM. Huh? Pardon? Sorry?
You can manage English?
Yes. Oh, if you can try to understand me.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Okay, so my question is, what your strategy to take the cotization from every member in our association? For example, if Dr. Kim doesn't pay his it cotization, what your strategy to take it? Yeah, thank you.
Understand, I think.
All right, okay.
Okay, we understood. Basically, the strategy should not come from the ExCom. The strategy should come from members, because the members are the ones who are making payments. So we should not dictate the strategies. Otherwise, they might be negative. For instance, if we decided to consider the members, if we consider to support the members for the training, the full members who have paid, what do you expect? Expect a class of 5 members? It's challenging. So maybe you can provide some input. What should we do as a member, but not from the ExCom dictating the terms?
He will speak English. So, je suis d'accord que c'est vrai que cette stratégie doit venir des membres. Mais si aujourd'hui il y a des membres qui ne cotisent pas, ça veut dire qu'il manque quelque chose, un dynamisme quelque part qui manque. Donc maintenant, si ensemble nous ne mettons pas, nous ne réfléchissons pas sur la stratégie ou bien une politique qui doit justement amener tous les membres à cotiser, donc on restera toujours comme ça. Donc c'est pourquoi je disais, je voulais d'abord demander quelle est la politique de recueillir voilà les cotisations des uns et des autres. Bon, I don't know if I can translate, but I will try. Why I have asked this question for the cotization? Because now we have many problems in, not many problems, but we I think there is a problem to trust, confiance. All right, trust. Trust. Voilà, trust in our association. So, if I take an example for my daughter, for example, just an example, simple example, I'm not sure because the responsible of the manager of my company, if I tell. Je leur explique. Voilà. If I explained it to them, voilà. Donc, so they will understand me exactly why it's important to pay. Donc, you must do something because I'm not sure if I have
j'ai tous les moyens, non pas les moyens financiers.
Understand? Okay, thank you. This is my.
Dr. Kumo, I am going to ask you a question. Do you pay your cotization? That's him. Why?
Yeah.
Do you want us to get you invoice? Or you have to pay to.
I know there is because I ask this question. It isn't the problem, not for me exactly. But if you don't want help me, I can't pay because I haven't the signature to pay you. So together, we must see how you can do to improve this. Yeah.
Okay, you want to speak?
Tanangura.
Okay, I realize that Abibu in the past sent invoice to HCTLD to pay.
23.
Yes, 23. Okay, but I don't think if he have a response. For this invoice, this is the real problem for us. Even if you send invoice to CTLD to pay, they don't pay. We don't know why. So we have to look for a strategy to invite people or CTLD to pay fees for FTLD. The real problem now is how to collect money. How? Together we have to think about a strategy and to propose. If you have something to propose that, we can go with you. Okay?
Thank you. So I think the question was, did you receive an invoice from AFTLD? Okay. How? Okay. Yeah. Actually, the strategy that we developed in Livingstone was that we would send an invoice to every CCTLD who was a member. And it was our hope that when you receive this invoice, you didn't receive it. Okay, so maybe that is the problem. He did not receive the invoice. Okay, so we were hoping that once you receive this invoice, it would be the document that you would take to your accounts or to your decision makers for you to make a payment to FTLD. Are there other CCTLDs who didn't get an invoice?
Can I respond?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I think one of the problems, we are having a serious communication problem and the problem is coming from the membership. Some of us or you use different email addresses. We need proper contacts because we are sending information and the information is not being received. I think some of you may just be aware with the DNS forum. Some of you, I sent you 10 invitation letters and the answer was we are not receiving it. I can confirm with the treasurer that the letter is here and I was copied all the letters. So I think it's a question of we need to communicate with the secretariat and we need to notify the secretariat which contact addresses we are using. Otherwise, communication is proving to be a challenge.
It's an example. Okay. Chris, do you have a point? Yeah.
Sorry. What I just want to propose is... the invoice might be better because I remember receiving it, but if it doesn't remind, I must pay. It's not that I don't have, we don't have means to pay. We want to pay, but I need to apologize for CD because I received that. It was in between, and then if it doesn't remind, I only remember now. So I'm really sorry, but we want to pay because we coming to training and all that. But we wish to pay, but if you don't remind me, then obviously, I mean, it's normal. Then I'm not going to pay. It's simple as that. So even the phone call and say, look, Chris, we've sent you a thing. Can you just make sure that we'll do that? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. So maybe we should have a credit or a credit collection agency or something like that. Yeah, thanks. We'll try to follow up the invoices and maybe try. But what Barak mentioned was that we do have contacts for each CCTLD, but sometimes the emails that we sent out, there is no response. So, yeah, we'll try to be more aggressive, right? Yeah, okay. Yes, please, .tz. Yeah.
Simon from .tz. Mine is about moving the secretariat to Kenya. We've had this for the past few AGMs that we've been moving our offices to Kenya, and then that's when we can have our own independent account that will be opened in Kenya. It's been a while now. We have not got the feedback of where the XCOM have, how far they've gone on the establishing this secretariat office in Kenya. So please, if you could please update us on where you're stuck or if there's any problem, let us know, please.
Okay, thank you for the intervention.
Are you going to make a presentation?
But I can give a brief.
Oh, yes.
The issue is that this registration is at an advanced stage. I get a report once every 2 weeks on this. And I can indicate that for the last 6 months, we were required to pass a security check. And so we've been going through a security check in Kenya for some time, and it's not a process that you can push. When they're saying they are investigating you, you can't say, please, can you finish the investigation now? So we have been going through a security check, and I can report, at least from the secretariat, that we seem to have finished this security check about 2 weeks ago. And the next stage is for us to get the certificate of registration. So we are making progress, but yes, for a long time, we have been going through a security check, and it's not something that we could jump. Is that okay? Thank you. Yes, please. Please introduce yourself.
Okay, thank you. My name is Gregoire Eumi. I'm from Benin.bg. So my contribution is to tell to FTLD to include a new member, like GTLD. So we can see that we have a money problem, money. So if you have new member, like GTLD and so on, I think that we can grow. And I think also that FTLD make to must go and make face-to-face with our authority, government authority, because then we can save our CCTLD to be in the country, like .ml. Thank you.
They are very valid points. With respect to the GTLD, yes, we are actually making progress on this. And you can see that in the new framework, which I've mentioned, that we opened up options for associate members. So we have GTLD registrars as associate members. And part of the reason why we did this was for fundraising. But in addition to that, as I mentioned in the in my report, we have signed an MOU with Dot Africa. And the MOU has a detailed plan for supporting FTLD from the funds or from the surplus funds that Dot Africa will be generating. So this is one of the initiatives that will address exactly the point that you have raised. And we are hearing some good news from Dot Africa on their process, but it's not for me to mention. I'm sure they will announce it in due course. Thank you. Okay. If we don't have any other interventions on this, we can move on to the next agenda item. And I appreciate your input on this. The next agenda item is number 7, and it's the election of new directors. Our constitution in section 16 indicates that at the AGM we need to appoint new directors, and in particular it says that at every AGM subsequent to the first AGM, one-third of the directors must retire. One-third of the directors are to retire. If the number of directors is not divisible by 3, then the number nearest to one-third must retire. So we have 6 directors. Am I counting right? Yeah. 6 directors plus a manager. And so one-third is 2. In Part C of 16.3, the directors to retire by rotation are those who have been longest in the office since their last appointment or reappointment, but as between directors who were last appointed or reappointed on the same day, the executive committee must draw lots to determine who is to retire, unless the directors in question agree the order of retirement among themselves. So this is the guiding principle. And the longest serving directors are myself and Suleiman. I'll open it up for debate, because that's what this clause says, unless we agree among the directors. So it is, there is room for agreement. And of course, it's up to the members to finally decide this for the election. And the directors are guided by you. So in this agenda item, we are opening up for your input. The item is on election. Can I just open it up, as the clause says, open it up for directors for your comments? Thanks. There are no comments from directors. Can I open it up for the floor? No comments from the floor? Can I open it up for nominations? Since I'm an interested party, hand over to somebody else. How do we proceed? I'm not a lawyer, and this document was drawn up by a lawyer, so we have lawyers among ourselves. How do we proceed? Yes, please.
All right.
Yes, Comoros.
Okay. Before the election, I would know why this. We didn't have this on our website. Why? I didn't understand why.
It is a good question. I should admit that the notice was a little bit late, and indeed, when the notice was going out, it was just late by a day or two on the required 14 days. On the required 14 days, but so this has been in circulation for more than 10 days. It was not on the website. We have normally not published the agenda for the AGM on the website, but we send it out to all the members, and the requirement in the Constitution is minimum 14 days. When this was going out, it was just a day or two. So it's been there, out there for 12 days minimum. And that's how we have normally circulated the AGM notice. It has not gone on the website. But the Constitution is on the website, is it? There's an odd version. Okay. So the new constitution, I'm being told, is not on the website yet. I have Sunday on the floor. Please.
Thank you very much, Chair. To the question you asked, I would ask the members who are to retire, the one-third, are they eligible for re-election, or does the constitution say they cannot be re-elected?
Maybe I should keep reading the Constitution. I'm sure we have lawyers among us who can help me out here. I'm not a lawyer.
I wanted to help, but...
Okay.
I am not a lawyer, but...
Go ahead.
No, that's why I asked the questions. The answer would dictate what next I can say.
Yes, Vika. The nearest to a lawyer we have.
Yeah, thank you, Paulus. I'm not a lawyer. I'm quite close to being one. Maybe for Sunday's point. The first point has to do with the notice. I think, my apologies, because I had to join when the meeting had just started. Usually, the proceedings require that if the notice or any requirement for the AGM notice has not been complied with, it becomes the first issue that the chair tables on the floor. The members then can condone that. You know, so it's not a big deal if the members are happy to say, we condone the notice was late. But it's not like we have the luxury of meeting 5 times a year. You know, we probably meet once a year to do the AGM. So I would suppose and probably propose that be condoned. or be taken as condoned.
You need to speak up. I can hardly hear you. So.
Oh, okay. I'm a little bit short, so this was not in front of me. So I'm saying that if the notice is late, the Constitution says that we should have started by that when the meeting started, to say we have not complied with the notice period, and ask if the members are willing to condone that lateness, which means if the members are willing to continue with the meeting regardless. What complicates this is the fact that, in any case, we do not have an option. We do not meet 5 times a year, you know. So I'm more inclined to propose that we condone that and we continue with the meeting. Because if we do not, it's not like we will be meeting later this year, or we will have all the members later this year to meet. That's one point. The second point has to do with the election process. That assuming we condone this meeting to continue with the election process, I think it could have been fairer to the members to have a notice that there will be an election so that people prepare themselves. I'm saying that because this was more of a DNS forum thing more than an AGM, or at least to some, they may not have been aware that it was going to be an AGM. I was aware because Pashala was involved in the preparations and I could see the agenda, you see. So this meeting needs to decide that if we need to postpone the elections or probably run them by a round robin or so that people will not feel deprived an opportunity to contest the elections. Having said that, Sunday's point is also a valid one of saying, are the current directors willing to continue, or let us say the two longest serving directors, are they available to continue serving? Because if they are available and there is no nomination for any new director, then again it makes no point to postpone the appointment of directors. We just confirm the current ones to continue until the next AGM, which is in 2014. So that will just be my input.
See, it pays to be to have a lawyer among you. Okay, thank you. I think the vicar raised some important points, but before I say anything on them, maybe I can give the floor to Sunday.
Thank you, Chair. Vicar just extended what I was saying, and I will just briefly say that it calls into question the legitimacy of the meeting, but with the power to do is also the power to undo. If there are all the members here present and there is no constituent member absent and nobody is objecting that this meeting is properly constituted, and Vika has not objected, he has only pointed out that the chair was not polite to have apologized that he didn't issue the notice on time. If that particular order can be cleared, then this meeting is properly constituted and can proceed into the election. The election itself being a matter that this body is properly constituted to deal with if there is no objection. That is the key point. If there is no objection. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sunday. So, according to the two interventions, we have really one critical item to attend to first. And the question is, do members condone this meeting? We have quorum, so we can actually pass a resolution on this. I've already mentioned that I did notice that the notice that sent out that was sent out to from the secretariat to members was below the normal required 14 days. So the question that we need to deal with is, do we condone the meeting? Can we treat this as a valid AGM? Is there anyone against it? Is there anyone opposed to holding this meeting as a valid AGM? Is there anyone abstaining on this issue? I need to ask this carefully because I'm not a lawyer. I need to make sure that we are on safe grounds here.
Chair, I'm sorry. May I guide at this point? According to Robert's Rule of Order, which specifies how meetings should be conducted, if it's not provided for in your constitution, you should not call for abstention on this type of matter. Be very careful not to call for abstention. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for the correction. So, should I call a vote? Should I call a ballot? Or is a show of hands adequate? So the bylaw gives us option to use show of hands for passing a resolution. So can I call one? Anyone, all those who support that we should treat this as a valid AGM based on the fact that the notice was 1 or 2 days late, can you please raise your hands so that we can count them? Those who support the resolution that we pass this as a valid AGM despite the short notice that was made to announce the AGM. Everyone who supports this meeting, can I have a show of hands?
Translate.
Is there anyone who can translate it on the floor?
Est-ce qu'on doit continuer cette rencontre?
Please. I think that the question was the question must be a election. Can be valid or not AGM. The AGM is not a problem, but can we do the election without AGM? So we are there. We're here now. But we can talk, but because we are not prepared for the election, so we can't process to the election. So your question must be, we do the election or not?
Okay, now the election is on the agenda for a meeting. The question that has arisen is whether we have a meeting, whether this is a valid meeting. So if we can decide that this is a valid AGM, then we can move to agenda item number 7 on this meeting for the election, and then we can start asking questions about the election. So the very first thing to do, as according to the guidance I have received, is that we need to decide whether this is a valid AGM. Can you translate for me?
Mr. Chairman, you are past that point now.
Oh.
The question is who objects, not who is for. Because if you are using who is for, there is really no power, because that's what you are determining. Okay? So that the vote itself will not be valid, because there has to be legitimacy in the people sitting before they can decide. So the question you have posed properly, who objects? If there is nobody that objects, you will move on. But not who is for. There are two different things.
No, this is actually a very good debate. So let me pose the question. If everyone agrees with the question, The question is, who objects to this being a valid AGM? Am I correct now?
Yes.
All right, thank you. So can I have a show of hands, since the Constitution allows us to use show of hands, can I have a show of hands on who objects to this being a valid AGM? I need...
Who objects?
Yeah. I'm going to pause here because I really need a good resolution on this. Who objects? Okay. So we have no objection to proceeding with this as an AGM. Thank you. So then I can move on to agenda item number 7. And again, seek, because we as directors, we are guided by you, seek your guidance on this. Indeed, this notice was circulated, as we have noted. Maybe the question that arose on this is whether any of the directors, since we're asking negative questions, right, whether any of the directors does not want to step down. Is that a negative? Help me out here. Whether any of the directors who are scheduled to retire want to continue. Is that okay?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. You see, the Constitution says they must step down.
Sure.
That's what the Constitution says. But my question was the other part. If they do step down, are they eligible for reappointment? You see, these clauses are put in the Constitution to protect the organization with ending up with seat-type leaders who don't want to leave, like the typical African leaders who want state burial. So that gives the opportunity for the organization to exercise the power to say, thank you very much, you have done very well, continue in office. Or thank you very much, we've had enough of you. So the question is, some organizations allow you retire and still offer yourself for reappointment, while some say, no, you retire, and that's it. We want fresh blood. So that's the part that should be interpreted clearly to us. Then we can then ask the question whether you are willing to continue. But by virtue of what you've read in the Constitution, you must retire. So the reappointment is now the issue.
Let me just put up the clauses on the screen. So this is legal language, and I'm not a lawyer. So let me just put it up. So we are on section 16.3, and the relevant sections are? Yeah, E. The relevant sections are B, C, and my apologies, in the Constitution there is no D. So it is section E. Can you put both D and E on there? Just go down, down, down. So these are the two provisions that we are dealing with. Yeah, so they fit in. So B, at every subsequent AGM to the first, one-third of the directors then in office must retire. So there is a must. If the number of directors is not divisible by 3, then the number nearest to one-third must retire. So we have 6 directors plus a manager. So we have 2 directors retiring, as I indicated. Part C, let me just read it, Chris, if you can allow me. The directors to retire by rotation are those who have been longest in office since their last appointment or reappointment. But as between directors who were last appointed or reappointed on the same day, the executive committee must draw lots to determine who is to retire, unless the directors in question agree the order of retirement among themselves. And E, a member of the executive committee shall only be eligible for reappointment immediately following the expiry of his or her first term of office, and thereafter he shall not be eligible for appointment until the expiry of a further 2 years after the expiry of his or her second term of office. If he or she is not reappointed, he or she will vacate office at the end of the AGM at which he or she retires. I don't know if it's a legal language, so it's open to the floor.
Okay, Chair, it's in English. There's nothing legal about it. if you just scroll down a bit.
Okay.
Can you scroll down?
Scroll down.
Yes, please, down.
It's to the next page.
Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Can we see what F is saying?
A director shall hold office until his retirement, resignation, disqualification, or removal in accordance with this constitution.
Okay, now you can go back. You will notice that item D is missing. Is it an error that you have seen before?
The lawyer who was working on this is in here, so.
Okay, so please draw it.
I didn't actually notice. I just noticed now that D is missing.
Okay, draw it to the attention of that lawyer that D is missing. But you see, all these things are clauses that should work together.
The what?
And what this is saying would make me pose another question, Mr. Chairman. Is this your first term or second term?
As chairman,
As a director.
As a director.
Are you on your first term or second term? Because you say you are the longest serving.
Yeah. Because
he's probably the longest servant. Not the longest serving. okay, first, if I may defend the lawyer who drafted the constitution and was adopted by the members in 2009, he forgot the D. He was more focused on five provisions. But unfortunately, we agreed on four. So that E should be a D. It was a mistake. Two, I think that's where I was going to flow next. With what, based on what Sandy has just said, is the question of how long the supposed longest serving directors have served in the board. And that takes us back to 2009 in Arusha, where there was a firm and clear understanding of what this all means. We had an interim board of, we called it in fact an interim executive committee that was elected in Marrakesh in 2006. And I was part of that committee. Michuki was the president, Michuki is here. It was forever called an interim, and no matter how much we tried to push it to be a permanent board, we were told by our members it can't be a permanent one until the constitution is amended and is adopted by the members. So in essence, what it means is that whosoever was in the board between that time, 2006 to 2009, was not a director, but was only an ex-com member, who was interim. So when we started in 2009, then we had our first official board. So in essence, if we take it from that angle, what this does mean, therefore, is seemingly that other than Mary Utuma and Eric, who started last year, there are four longest-serving directors.
And of the four, none of them have served more than two terms. They've all served a single term. So it's out of the four that at least two should be earmarked for stepping down. And or that of the two should be earmarked for stepping down, they have not in any case served anywhere more than, more than a single term. So they too shall be eligible to stand and be re-elected into the board. I hope this clarifies, and I'm saying it importantly because I know it creates some confusion when people say we have been in the board of AFTLD for years, and when some of us wanted to step down in Arusha, as technically it was clarified by the AGM that you are never a director in the first place, it's only now you'll start to be a director. So the main point is, therefore, four are the longest serving. Two of them should be the ones earmarked for stepping down. And I'm saying earmarked simply because the question arises, why step down if there is no call for a specific election? I think it's important also to establish here if there is any interest in people standing for election into the board. If there isn't, then we can make a unanimous decision that, well, we won't hold elections, let the four continue. Next year we'll deal with this matter. I'm trying to say it now from a practical administrative angle where conducting an election for an organization like AFTLD will be very difficult if it's done not face-to-face.
Okay. Thank you very much, Vika, for the clarifications. As you know, I am just standing to provide guidance. I am not standing for an interest, so I would want those interventions to be seen as guidance. It's the AGM is every year, but the tenure of directors is 2 years. So next year again, there will be the need for retirement. So that needs to be factored in place. All these things are necessary for the stability of organizations. You don't want all your directors to leave at the same time, and you don't want a scenario that you don't have the requisite experience within the organization. The other thing you should be careful of, because as I said, this is guidance, not interest, is that when you have officers and you don't go through that process of the retirement, you might end up with lethargy where the officers say, well, nobody really wanted to do it. We are the only ones available to do it. And so the performance of your officers will reduce. You cannot optimally get them to perform because they are more like volunteers who decided to suffer when nobody would take it. So all those things are balanced. And that's why organizations would want to see clearly that there is an expiration of tenure and a willingness in those people to continue, rather than the opposite of saying, is there anybody signifying intentions to take over from them? No, it's not a coup. It's an association, and you want to see clearly that the objectives of the association can be advanced. Thank you.
Yes, Chris. So I'll take this as the last intervention so we can move forward.
Chair, my intervention is more into like, we should think of a kind of a replacement, sort of. I'm not saying that, well, look, we're not, first of all, prepared, so we're not sure exactly which work you do. But we understand that the time when it comes, there's some young which are coming up. Because the day you decide to say, well, I think I've got enough, we might not have somebody at that time, particular time, to know exactly what you used to do, which contact you used to have. And then so those kind of things, so you should also, I'm trying to say that, well, this thing of new guys coming up, saying we need to really to look at it. And then saying that it's, I just want to say that in a way where we're saying that where there is nobody who have interest in what you've been doing, or at least maybe coaching maybe on a certain saying that, okay, fine, so if then it's the constitution, then we're saying, okay, if we then we in a election we have agreed, nobody have objected the AGM, and then we have gone into the point five, so which means the two holders should just okay, they're not going on the side of the thing. Meaning, what I'm trying to say is, we need to have a clear picture. Who are they? Who are the two elders? Are they willing to stand a bit, and then we can see clearly on the table who are the one who are left. And though if then nobody is willing to come up, then we can have maybe a 10 minutes, or we agree among ourselves. If there's nobody, then we say, okay, well, because of such project or such project which have been going on, then we think that, well, some so-and-so should continue for the next tenure or anything like that. This is just any suggestion.
Thank you, Chris. So from the discussion so far, maybe if we could move forward on this, since the item is on the agenda of a valid AGM, we have noted that from Vika's explanation, everyone is on their first term. So that means that they are eligible for reappointment, which answers the question that was raised by Sunday. So I think to move forward, then I can ask those of us who are scheduled to retire, and the exception was only Eric and Mary. So everyone else, I need to ask you, are you willing to stand? I'll stand on stand again, starting from, sorry to put you first, Alion. Okay. You willing to continue? Yes, Abib? Now I'm asking you. Are you willing to continue? Okay. Suleiman, are you willing to continue? Okay. Paulos, that's me. Yes, I think I can do another year. Now that we have that, do we want, what is it that we need to do next?
If by resolution, the appointment by resolution, somebody will move a motion.
No, sorry, there may be someone who is interested to move. If there is no one interested for election, then we can move forward. But if there is a nomination from the floor, then we'd have to have an election. That is correct, right?
Mr. Chairman, you are absolutely correct there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the members who are eligible for retirement, who are retiring, are eligible for election. They have now signified that they are willing to continue in office, so we are not asking them to do it out of compulsion. They signified the intention. So you now need the concurrence of the assembly whether they should continue. But the question you will now be posing is there anybody who's interested in any of the offices?
Yeah.
But that question, you should not dwell too long on it. And the reason why you should not dwell too long on it is that there was no proper preparation which would have given people the opportunity to plan for it. So you also need to not spend too much time on it. Otherwise, people could put up an agenda that could upturn your apple cart. So you have to move fast on this aspect.
Thank you very much, Sunday. So I'm on the right track here. So please. I am opening it up, not for debate now.
No, we're not.
So I'm opening it up for nomination. Is there anyone else who is interested?
Would just like to ask for the meeting to be adjourned for 5 or 10 minutes. We consult
among,
because we're not informed, and then we just need to double check with some of the members. If I may ask, please, Chairman.
Okay. There is a motion on the floor. Anyone oppose the motion for adjournment for 5 minutes? Break? We take a break now. Okay. Coffee break now. There is coffee on there. The time now is, what is the time? 10 to 5. So shall we reconvene at 5? Yeah. Thank you. So we are adjourning now for 10 minutes.